This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, visiting with Victor Davis Hanson of the Hoover Institution. And Victor now and again writes a nature essay that catches my fancy. And the one about barn owls was a delight. I grew up with a barn owl in Bucks County, a series of barn owls in a barn that my cousin on his farm in the summertime we'd visit for a week or 2 weeks. It was the joy of summertime when you're 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. And the barn owls were not scary to me. They were just part of the landscape. They were impossible to see. You would be told, there's a barn owl up there. Can't you see it? And I would go, no, I can't. The barn was filled with hay. Victor, you've had the similar experiences in your grandfather's barn. You cannot find barn owls. I've gone looking for them here in Western Connecticut since I read your essay. I've even wandered into a barn and looked up, and they're laughing at me because I can't see them. Why can't I find them, and what to think of? What is the philosophy of barn owls?
Well, they're a brilliant, brilliant bird. I mean, they have sort of a light-colored, tan, speckled white feathers, and when they get next to a white washed barn, and they like enclosed structures where they have a view, an aerial view, and in my case, since I'm still in the farm where I grew up, they would post themselves by hanging, I guess you would say they attached their claws to the cracks in the barn, and then you could hardly see them, and they would then span the barnyard, and whenever they saw a squirrel or a gopher, they would swoop down and eat them, and they cleared all of the rodents and pests from our whole house and barnyard area, but you only saw them at night. When I grew up, I put motion detector lights, and it's very eerie at night to see these things go on, and you can hear, once in a while, you can hear that swishing, and so they're out there, you just never see them, and when you do see them, they're almost invisible because they blend in so well with their surroundings, and that piece I wrote is the tragedies that over my life, about every 4 or 5 years, I'll go out in the morning and I'll see this majestic barn owl limp, and his claws have gone into this ancient barn's cracks, and he can't get the talons get stuck, and he's battered himself to death and just laying there. I shouldn't say just hanging there like a bat upside down. Very sad. And I was writing about how people in my family over the last 65 years that I know of have all responded to that 5 or 6 year phenomenon.
So the only predator for a barn owl is the barn owl making a mistake of how to roost itself during the day to hang there. Do they have another predator in California?
Not really. You know, we have also in our farm down by our pond these huge great horn owls. Those are ubiquitous. They have maybe a barn owl has a wingspan of 3 to 4 feet, but these things are 6 feet, and we know that the other big predator that rules the roost around here are red-tailed hawks, and they have about the same wingspan, but when they tangle, every once in a while, you can see the owl go up into a nest, and the red tail will get out. And so I don't know the science of it, but I can tell you that over my lifetime, a great horn owl is more than a match for a red-tailed hawk. And so, and they swoop down low, but these birds don't seem to have any predators. They're very, I don't know, they're majestic. You can see why their little cousin, what we call the hoot owl or the screech owl, those are tiny. That was so captivating or intriguing to the ancient Greeks, especially Athenians, that made that their symbol of wisdom. And the Athenian tetradrachma has that owl's face on it.
The hoot owl, the hoot owl.
The hoot owl, yeah, that's another name for it as well.
Right, and the hoot owl is in Europe. Is the barn owl in the Peloponnesians?
Yeah, there's barn owls all over the world from my knowledge of it. And the only time I've seen them that is not night, when I go to Hillsdale, I sometimes walk on these wooded paths in the southern Michigan countryside. And if you look very carefully up on top of these broadleaf trees at around 7 o'clock or 8, I usually walk right at dusk. You can see one of them, but it's very rare. And I've only seen maybe 2 or 3 of them in my life, but I've seen 7 or 8 dead that were stuck on the side of the barn.
Yes, I can tell they're laughing at me when I'm going looking for them. Now, you maintain an ecosystem for the barn house, your grandfather's barn. You rebuilt it for the barn house. Is that correct?
Yeah, you know, about 15 years ago, I said to myself, do I really want to to keep doing this because it was built by eucalyptus poles by my great grandma. They had no lumber here in the San Joaquin Valley before they started logging, and they used eucalyptus from, they planted what they called blue gums for that purpose. It's not very good wood, but it's indestructible. It's not straight, of course, the trunks. And this thing started to lean, I guess, right off the foundation. And then I decided, well, I'm just get rid of it. But then I started thinking of all the memories of my grandparents bragging about they had fixed up the barn and all these animals that had been in, horses and mules. And I have a little studio there, an apartment. And I thought, why not just, so I hired some people and they just did a wonderful job. They re-straightened it. They used ropes, brought it back, pulled it back over with cable. And then they framed it out, put in plywood. And but I insisted they leave the outside the same, even though they wanted to put brand new redwood. And I, part of me said, you know what, maybe I won't lose a barn owl every 5 years because the new redwood won't have cracks in it. It will get stuck. But I left it there. And over the last 6 years, I haven't seen a dead one. But I came out one night after doing a TV show because there's a little studio there. And something bothered me, John. It was about 8 at night, and it was in March. And it was kind of eerie. And I looked up, straight up where the light was. There's a light attached to the side of the barn. It's a motion light. And for a second, it went on when I walked out. And up there, I could see this barn owl, and he had his talons embedded in the side. I thought, oh, my God, he's going to get caught like they did. But then all of a sudden, he just took off like an airplane with no landing gear problems and swooped away.
A success. Victor Davis Hanson.
Yes, Hanson.
Writing of the barn owls of California and of Greece and of Connecticut. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.